I'm Brett.
And I'm Alice.
And we are the Prosecutors.
Hey, everybody. This is Alice, and I'm still with my co-host, Just Alice. As you all know, Brett and Mrs. Brett recently had their baby, and so we are taking this week off as well from a substantive episode in order to let them get settled in. So thank you for your well wishes and your good thoughts. Please continue to send them. Now, don't worry. As we mentioned last week, if you are a Patreon, there is an exciting 3-episode case for you all to binge on. All you have to do is join Patreon at any level. You can give as much or as little as you would like to get access to those 3 episodes ahead of time. But this week, we had an exciting conversation with all of you. It was an open Get Vocal to celebrate our 1 millionth download of the Prosecutors. We can't thank you guys enough for your support this past year, for 1 million downloads, and also for showing up from all over the world to celebrate with us on that exciting day. We had some of the cutest guests join us, and we also had some great questions for all of you. So we hope you enjoy this question and answer free-for-all Get Vocal with all of you. And I hope you enjoy it because there will be more Get Vocals. We have them monthly with our Patreons and with our patrons who are on Patreon. So if you sign up for Patreon, you will get notifications for Get Vocals every month, and you can ask us anything case related, personal. We are open books. So enjoy this, and we can't wait to get back next week with a substantive case. And boy, it is one you all have been asking for a really long time, and we think you'll like it. All right. Thanks, all.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this live Get Vocal episode of The Prosecutors. I'm Brett, and Alice is here with me. Say hello, Alice.
Hello, I'm Alice.
That's Alice. For all of you who wanted to know what Alice looked like, now you know. If you're on this Get Vocal, if you're not, you'll probably never know until we get to 2 million, and who knows when that'll happen. So, but yeah, we're here to celebrate 1 million downloads. Yay!
Am I going to be the only one dancing tonight?
No, I have my champagne that I purchased just for this special occasion. Alice, I'm sure you have some appropriate sparkling something.
I do have some bubbly.
There you go. There you go.
I wasn't even sure what I was drinking tonight.
Yeah, and we have Tegan and Julie in the boxes down here. So the way we're going to do it tonight, we wanted to do this just to say thank you to all you guys for getting us to this milestone. It's obviously nothing that we did. It's all you guys listening to the show and putting up with us. So we really wanted to give everybody an opportunity to ask any of the questions they want. I think the way we'll do it, you know, obviously you don't have to be in the boxes to hear us. We got the chat room over here on the left. So if the folks in the boxes have a question, let's ask a question. We'll do our best to answer it. And then we'll try and like rotate people through if that makes sense with everybody. And that means that Tegan and Julie are on the spot. So Tegan or Julie one needs to come up with a really awesome question.
Tegan's
stepping out. Tegan, are you weren't knitting. That was somebody else last time. It was knitting, I think. We had somebody who knitted like a whole sweater one time when we had to give up.
Oh, yeah. That's like, yeah, that is definitely in the, yeah, that was definitely me.
There you go.
I was like, me, knit. Oh, yes. I guess my first question, I guess my only question is, since you guys had 1 million downloads, were you guys responsible for like all of them? Like, do you guys have, like, different devices that you, like, have
exactly.
all the... Exactly. Yeah, okay, I figured it out.
How did
yeah.
you know?
I have a device that is constantly listening to the show over and over and over again, 24 hours a day.
yeah, it's like...
Which is responsible for the vast majority of them.
Yeah. Do you, like, cut people deals and say, listen, we won't prosecute you if you go down, like, every single episode?
Brett, stop recording and then we'll answer that.
Yeah, yeah.
Blink twice.
You got all the hard yeah. questions.
Tegan needs to go knit a sweater, I think. We'll talk to you offline, Tegan.
Yeah, exactly. Tegan's figured everything out. Tegan's dangerous.
Welcome, Megan. Thanks for Hello, grabbing Megan. The box.
Hi.
Is that the University of South Florida, Megan?
Yes.
Megan. Hi. Megan's always commenting on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes.
I see Megan in her graduation stuff all the time.
Yeah. how do you guys choose your cases?
Totally random, basically.
Honestly, when you guys write to us, we really listen, and we just have a running list. And it's kind of amazing because I think certain cases will make people think of particular cases. So when we do a case, we'll have like a bunch of requests for a similar type of case. And so we keep it in mind. And you guys introduced us actually to a lot of cases we've never heard of. And we'll start looking, and then we get obsessed.
Yeah, basically, we made a list of about 50 cases we wanted to do when we started this. And then there's all the list, the much longer now list of cases that people send us, and we try and, you know, do a little bit of both. Cause we've all got the cases that interest us, you know, the cases that we want to do. I really wanted to do the staircase. I really wanted to do Dyatlov Pass, for instance, you know, but then cases will come along. Like, we never thought we'd do Scott Peterson. That's a case we didn't think we were going to do, but there were so many people who wanted to hear that case that finally we're like, okay, let's do Scott Peterson. And so we did Scott Peterson. So that's just one of the sort of cases we've done. Like Temujin Kinsu, we'd never heard of until we heard Maggie's show, and we decided we wanted to do that. And then, you know, people really pushed us to do Delphi. Delphi was not a case that was on our list of cases to do, and people really wanted that, so we did that. So it's really a combination of cases we always intended to cover and then cases that people are telling us about. So, you know, when you send us an email and you mention a case, it gets added to the list. Even, you know, even if I forget to respond to you or whatnot. And hopefully if we do this long enough, we'll get to cover them all. We're never going to run out. I can say that.
Yeah.
Especially with our international folks, we've been getting a lot of requests for different international from our standpoint, because we're in the United States, but we have fans all over the world, and hearing about their favorite cases in their country has been really great. Cause I don't think I would have known about them otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Alicia is right. I mean, she is the person who not only suggested the Taylor Swift episode, but gave us all that hard-hitting research that we used for that episode. So.
Which was a very serious episode.
Very serious.
We earned every one of those one-star reviews with that episode.
We did. We totally did.
If you are one of those people in this chat room, you might need to leave.
Yeah, if you stuck with us because you're like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'm going to stick with you anyway. It was a joke. It was actually a joke. It was not serious. So.
And if you missed that, maybe we should like have an offline chat about stuff.
Yeah. Not to be critical of anyone.
Not to be critical. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, guys.
Finally, how are you?
To like talk to you.
Yay!
Yes, congratulations. I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for explaining the law so that way I don't have to anymore. Anyone that asks me anything, I just direct them to your podcast. My sister asked me a question the other day. I'm like, you just need to listen to this podcast.
Oh, that's great. So that's exactly what we want people to do. Everybody should do that.
Next to you on this box is a law professor. So maybe we should ask
her. That's the end of the podcast.
We're taking over.
No, I'm actually wanted to pop on quick and just say hello and congratulations. I'm literally sitting here waiting for someone to turn themselves in.
There you go.
I'm still working.
At least they're turning themselves.
I'm sure you guys can appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for what you do, Michelle, and for making time for us. We know you're busy.
Yeah.
No, thank you guys. I don't know how you do it. I really don't know how you do it between work and
and just life and family and everything. And I enjoy it. And, you know, I love hearing you two guys talk, and it reminds me of, you know, me talking to my friends in the office. So you guys are awesome. Looking forward to hopefully seeing you in Austin. And
absolutely.
And yes,
you and we still want to have you on the show, yeah. Michelle. Whenever yes. you're ready to break that confidentiality agreement about the Long Island serial killer, you just let us know.
No pressure.
No pressure. Keep it up, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. Laurel, thanks for grabbing a box.
Hi, Alice. Hi, Fred. I'm a big fan, other than Brett's mom. And this is Matt. And he just listens to handfuls here and there of, you know, when it's appropriate to listen to or not. But he's also a big fan and has this shirt. So we love you guys. I love every episode. I think Alice is the most brilliant, incisive prosecutor I've ever heard. No offense to you, Brett. We love you.
No, it's fine. She totally carries me.
Yeah. She does. She definitely does. So our questions are, 1 million podcast downloads in a year, less than a year. That's incredible. What are your goals for the next year? And then what are each of your,
your favorite ones that you did?
Oh, our favorite episodes. Well, I mean, I don't even know how to set goals anymore because Allison, our goal was like 10,000 downloads in a year.
Right.
And, you know, if we just somehow made it to 100,000, I think we would have had a celebration just like we're having now. We'd had a celebration for 10,000. So I don't really know what our goals are for next year.
All right, we'll ask you at the next one. You all can think about it. We'll ask you at the next Kid Vocal.
Maybe our goal was to have some more kid-friendly episodes.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're big accessories. Yes.
We'll try for that. Our favorite case we've done. You know what? I actually love our first episode because it's so awkward.
It is really awkward.
We had no idea what we were doing, and it was super awkward. I mean, Brett and I were friends, but it was still an awkward episode, and we promised we wouldn't take it down, and it's still up for you to listen to the awkwardness.
Great. Oh.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Yes. What about you, Brett? What's your favorite?
I really enjoyed the Marie Celeste episode. Enjoyed all the sea shanties.
What's that?
The boat, yeah. And actually, I know you said that you got into that when you were young, and so we're going to get Matt that book. So we'll get Matt that book, and we'll report back on that. But keep doing your great work. We'll get out so somebody else can get in, but we love you all. You are the best podcast.
Thank you.
Great. Bye.
Thank
good
you,
night.
Everybody's so nice.
Ray Ann, thank you for coming. Sorry, we saw you earlier and popped up, and I was bummed.
Well, my family just walked in, and I was afraid they would yell something very inappropriate.
Bring them all in. Have the whole family.
So anyways, I'm from Lebanon, Missouri, which is a little bitty town, but by Springfield, Missouri, which I wanted to know if you guys had ever heard of the Springfield Three.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty famous case, and it was like when I was in elementary school, middle school, and it's what totally triggered my love for true crime and law, because of course it's still unsolved. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you guys ever considered doing that case, if you knew anything about that case.
So that case is on our list of things to do. And people have recommended that a lot. If I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is this the one where there were two girls who had either just graduated from high school or
yes.
they were staying at somebody's, one was staying at the friend's house and then the
yes.
mother
so
and the
it's
two
a
girls
mom.
All.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It is a mom and a daughter and her best friend. And they graduated from Kickapoo High School, which is where Brad Pitt also graduated from.
Maybe we can get him on the show for the episode.
Hey, that'd be awesome. And he, so it was the night of their graduation. And okay. I actually went to college in Springfield at Drury University, which there it's always kind of one of those deals. It's still talked about in our area, but there's always been big rumors. So I was just kind of curious if it was on your guys' list. So
it is on our list, and it's one we're definitely going to do. If you haven't sent us an email, send us an email.
I will.
Because, you know, anytime you can get information from people who are local to the area, it's always really helpful. It's much better than
yeah.
just.
It's always a lot of rumors. Yeah.
But, you know, there's There's something to rumors, and they probably have something, and you're going to hear different rumors than people who are not local. We've reached out to Brad Pitt, but he hasn't reached back out to us.
Oh, bummer. Sure, bummer. His brother still lives in Springfield. So
okay.
Am I making it up that most people think they know who did it, but they just can't prove it?
Yes. Yeah, yes. And he is in prison. I've stayed on this case forever just because it's very local. It's kind of what triggered my whole love for true crime, and that these girls have never had any kind of justice. Their family's still pretty active in the Springfield community, and they supposedly know where they are. The city of Springfield will not dig up the area. And they supposedly know who he is. I think his last name is Cox, but he is in jail at the time, supposedly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, we will we'll definitely do it at some point. So make sure you shoot us that email. I'll put your name down.
I will. Guys, congratulations on 1 million downloads. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your support.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be a Patreon. You guys are amazing.
You're the best. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah,
thanks,
you are amazing.
Guys. Thanks, guys. Take care.
You too.
Shannon, do you have a cage in the back of your car?
Hello. Yeah, I have dogs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dogs. I thought
you
had a cop car.
I'm not in the cop car. No. And this is a rare time where I don't have the dogs in the car. And I was driving, and then I stopped to get coffee, and the notification came out. I'm like, no.
You are awesome for logging on in your car.
I'm in a Starbucks parking lot, no less.
Thank you
for giving me some place to point people to when they wanted to understand the Derek Chauvin trial. As an attorney who does civil rights work, it was really nice to be able to point to, like, okay, go listen to these folks. They're prosecutors. They explain it really well. And hey, they're prosecutors, so they're not coming from like this super pro defense bias here. You're gonna get good information. So,
right.
I would love to know if I'm ever gonna be right in the head again after the Maura Murray.
No,
or if that's
you will
just
never.
Cursed.
You gotta get away. You have to get away from the threat of doom.
I do. I've muted it. It comes back.
You can't ever escape it.
No, if you reply to it, it pops back up to me because one of my followers is replying to it.
So it's my fault.
Do you have any thoughts? No. So do you have any thoughts on the current weirdo?
I think about
Aaron suing Renner baby county suing Aaron crazy pants business, or just watching from the sidelines going, God, that's not us.
And now Folk has a restraining order against him, I guess. That was the latest thing.
So for everyone who may not know what they're talking about, there is this Twitter thread of doom that started last July 4th that this is not an exaggeration, has 500 tweets per hour. And everyone's suing everyone in real life. It's not just bluffing. And it is impossible to get out of. What I do is I just ignore it.
So if anybody, see us responding, it's me. It's not Alice. Alice is smart enough to stay out of it.
I said earlier there should be a documentary on it.
Yeah.
I really am seriously considering doing a master's or psychology PhD on the psychopathy of this case. And if the case makes you crazy, or if you're drawn into the case
and there are just all these
like bizarro personalities. I've been in hearing myself today, so no, I did not know about the Falk restraining order. I'll have to check that out later. But here's the thing, at the end of the day, I'm going to be really pissed off if it turns out James Renner was right and she's either in Canada or Bill's responsible. I'm just going to be annoyed that I went along for the ride, got suspicious, thought he wasn't true, then he backed everything up, and now with the whole thing imploding, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's basically like 4 or 5 years ago, I feel like it just stopped being about Maura, and now it's just about drama. It's just drama. It's like a soap opera, and
okay,
I don't know if what's been happening is going to change that or not.
Okay, so I have a non-drama related case to suggest, and I don't know if you guys can do it because of your jobs, but the murder of Tom Wales, assistant United States prosecutor from Seattle. Mm-hmm. I was a law clerk that summer and worked with Tom, and so I'm very invested in the case, and yet here it is. It'll be 20 years in October, and there's only like one person who's facing charges for lying to the FBI. Is that a case mm-hmm. that you're interested in exploring?
So I will admit to you, I have started working that one up in like an outline. I don't know if we can do
that. Case scares me. Just yeah, because
close to home.
It's close to, I mean, goodness
as
gracious.
I was yeah. doing it, like, I didn't realize that, like, a couple years ago, Rod Rosenstein was out there talking about the case. Like, I mean, it's
came out to bait. Like, he came out for a dog and pony show, just yeah. like they did in we just talked about it, Indiana Girls.
Delphi.
The press conference. Delphi, yeah. Delphi. It was a total bait press conference, like the Delphi pick. Like, everybody who knew Tom, everybody who'd worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office, we all were like, holy crap, Rod Rosenstein's coming out. This is a big deal. It was to try and antagonize somebody into making a slip up and then announce that the association was putting up more money for a reward. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the problem with the missing / potentially murdered prosecutor is it may hit just a little too close to home, but
yeah, that's what
I will
thought,
say. We have not ruled it out altogether. That may take like a separate.
It really is fascinating because I think we've joked before, but we're not joking when we say that like people that we prosecute write our names in jail on the bunks. But
this one has a weird weird tie to the a serial killer who tried to use claiming to have somebody have said something to him to get transferred to a different prison. So if you ever do decide to go into that deeper, feel free to hit me up, because if there's anything I want to see happen in my lifetime that has nothing to do with me personally, it's to have that case solved. All right.
Well, if we ever do that case, we will definitely reach out to you about it.
Awesome. Well, I'll give my spot up now. Congratulations.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Hello, people Julie. In Julie's box.
Yeah, hello, people in Julie's box.
I'm Brett.
And I'm Alice.
And we are the prosecutors.
You guys, that was so good.
Alice, I think we're going to lose our jobs.
Goodness. I think we're out of a job completely. I'm sorry you guys had to wait so long. It seems like it's bedtime to do that. Thank you.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Oh, we love you guys. Awesome. Thank you so much. That was maybe the cutest thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
Good luck topping that, guys.
Yeah, don't, no pressure grabbing the next box.
Yeah, there's no box that's going to be grabbed now. We might as well just go ahead and call it a night.
Cute. Oh. Okay, Elizabeth.
Rising to the challenge.
This is like popcorn. What is it? What are we on? Get vocal. Popcorn vocal. Popcorn. I'm loving it. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
So you're talking about the Delphi case, and I guess my question is, they just a couple of days ago have a new potential suspect mm-hmm. who had been, you know, arrested for another horrible crime against a child. Does that give you any sort of sense that what does that tell you, that they just said they're looking into him? So mm-hmm. does that tell you that maybe they don't have anybody else and they're desperate? Or I mean, what are your perspectives on that? I'm just curious.
I don't think they're desperate, but in terms of what was publicly available, there was nothing about him that really tied, except that it was somewhat close to Delphi. It was a horrendous, crime against this young girl. But other than that, there was nothing that I saw. Maybe the police know something more than that. I'm pretty sure we know that the police have DNA in Delphi.
if they have this guy, they can get DNA from him. You can go and get a court order if he won't willingly give a DNA sample. So I thought maybe that was more kind of media splash rather than anything from the investigators, which, you know, I think everyone is desperate to see that case solved. I know I certainly am. So if he is anywhere tied, I think they'll get to the bottom of it. And if honestly he was tied somehow, I don't think they would have made such a big splash early on because they just had to wait a day for a DNA sample to come back. So I personally don't necessarily think there's a tie except for the, you know, horrendousness of the crime.
Right.
So I am beginning to doubt there's DNA. I mean, there's every reason to think there's DNA. They take people's DNA, you know, but I just don't know if there actually is DNA. And like Alice said, I guess maybe we'll know if there's DNA because if they very quickly remove this guy, one of the reasons they could do that is DNA. Now, the other reason they could do it is like he was in jail that day, right? So maybe that doesn't tell you as much. There are a couple things I think about this guy. Number one, personally, I'm glad it's happening because we're getting Delphi out there again, right? I mean, Delphi's back in the news. People are hearing about Delphi. They're reading about the story. Maybe it's triggering something. Not everybody agrees with me on this. You know, some people hate it whenever this happens because it's like another suspect and it confuses people. But for me, I like people talking about Delphi. I like people looking at those sketches. Obviously, this guy looks like the sketches, but so have, you know, so did Daniel Nation. So does half the people in Indiana.
Right. Exactly.
Now, a couple things I think are, one thing I think is really interesting about it is another reason that everybody, if you know anything or even think you know anything, and you have a tip, you should turn it in. This guy, he is at least my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, he has a record. You know, he only lived about 40 miles away from Delphi. Mm-hmm. He fits the profile generally, and yet it seems like nobody's ever looked at him before, right? Like the police didn't immediately say, oh, we've looked at that guy before and eliminated him. And that should just remind people that there are tons of potential suspects very close to Delphi that nobody's ever thought about before. So don't just assume that the person who you think might have had something to do with it, oh, well, surely they looked at him. I shouldn't worry about it. Just go ahead and, you know, phone the tip in. You know, you don't have to post on Facebook. You don't have to do anything personally, but just phone the tip in. And you never know where it might lead. So I think that's probably the most important thing about this. Obviously, we're all hoping it turns out to be him.
Every time they get that. Well, and of course, see, I grew up just in the next county. And so it's just this particular case just is obsessing. But also, you know, in where this guy committed his crime just last week or whenever it was, it's in a larger community that has a huge Big Ten university. And there's all kinds of possible people in that town that could be, you know, so it's just right. Like you said, you can't just be in Delphi. Although I didn't know about that trail. I had no clue about that trail. And mm-hmm. I grew up there. So, but that doesn't mean somebody doesn't, you know, someone who lives in Lafayette, West Lafayette, which is where this guy was, is mm-hmm. not a potential suspect. He would be familiar with that. So.
Yeah. Elizabeth, you're not the first person we've heard that from who grew up in the area and doesn't know about the trail, which is really,
right.
Which actually just, I think, points more to the fact that this person we think is a hunter. You know, whether he passes through frequently like a trucker or he lives in the area, he's hunting out places that are remote and have the opportunity for his crime. And so, yeah, thank you for that. That's really helpful.
So and the scariest thing about it is, you know, the kind of thing that makes me want to never let my daughter out of my sight, if there are a lot of people who fit the profile, frankly, and, you know, there's just a lot of people in Indiana and in every other state that, if you knew what they were doing or you knew what they did or you knew what kind of criminal record they had, you would be worried about. So it's sad and it's unfortunate. There's just a lot of people out there who prey on children. And I hope we find this one, but, you know,
yeah,
it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's disappointing it's been this long, but, you know, everybody's still aware of it. So, mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much and congratulations and, we really appreciate it. It's great to be able to listen to you during, you know, this year of a COVID and And I think I need to have my husband pop open a bottle of champagne to celebrate as well.
Looks there like you go. Absolutely. Any excuse, right?
I mean, I think this is an excuse for everyone in this, everyone who's here to drink something.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Your beverage of choice.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, guys. We got
good questions on the side. I have not.
We got plenty of spots too, and you know, if you've already asked a question, you have another one. Don't be shy about jumping back in. Yeah, we got to pay attention to the chat too.
I know. Sorry, you guys have such good questions. Something about con law? Yes.
Something about con law.
Yes, ask us con law questions. Why not?
Yeah. But
Mandy, hi Mandy.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes. Hi, Mandy. Thanks for grabbing up.
Hello, Mandy.
Hi, this is my first time ever on Get Vocal.
Woo, welcome.
I know. The past couple of times I haven't been able to jump on. And so I like rushed home to be able to get on. I'm just like jumping on to say hi. Cause like, I feel like I'm like constantly emailing you guys just random things about cases and whatnot. But since I'm on here, I will ask a question. I'll be appropriate about my time. But
wow, thank you as much time as you want.
And then my dog wants to say hi.
Oh, hi, Pa.
She has to listen. She listens to you guys with me all the time as well. So this is a question that I don't know if you're going to want to answer, but that's okay. If you don't, just don't.
Go for it.
So in your own experience of your personal cases that you've actually been on, is there ever been a case that at the end of it, you just were like, I'm not confident with what really happened? Like, you have to try something and you have to kind of die on that hill. But at the end of it, has there ever been a case that you were just like, I just don't really know, like, what actually happened? And how do you feel in those moments as a prosecutor?
Do you mean as far as whether or not the person is guilty or not? Is that what you mean?
Right. Like, yeah. If like just kind of how the case fell out, if you're just like not 100% certain that the way it ended up being.
Well, let me say one thing. You know, I think one thing that people confuse in a lot of cases, whenever there's sort of an actual innocence claim, whether it's, you know, it's a Scott Peterson or Jeffrey McDonald or a Michael Peterson, you know, there are facts that are material. That's what we call them in the law, material facts. So they're the facts that really matter, and they're the facts that go to the heart of the case. And then there are, you know, there's just other facts, sort of like, you know, ancillary facts or whatever. And even in the cases we do, we don't always know exactly what happened every single moment of every single day, right? Like, you know, but a lot of times, and well, all the times, those facts, they're not the material facts. I mean, I can say, and I think it's essentially your duty as a prosecutor. I mean, if you don't believe that the material facts necessary for your prosecution are supported by the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, then you shouldn't be bringing the case in the first place. And we've talked about that some with Maggie on her stuff. Now, does that mean, like I said, we know every single thing that happened in the 3 years where we know that the crime was going on? No, not necessarily. And we may not be able to connect every dot. I think it was, might have been Shannon who made like a great analogy. She was talking about reasonable doubt and how it's like a puzzle and you've got all the puzzle pieces. Somebody just gives you like 1,000 puzzle pieces and says, put this together. And you'll have like the picture. You'll have like the little cheat sheet. You start putting the puzzle together. And at some point you're like, oh, I know what this is. Right. And it you know, it won't be when every single puzzle piece is in place. And even if there's like a puzzle piece or so missing, you still know exactly what the picture is. And that's when, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, you know what the picture is. And so I would say that, you know, maybe you're missing those puzzle pieces here and there, but as far as those material facts, I can't say I've ever had that happen.
Right. So like, I guess, you know, I guess if you're working for the state, you know, and you're not kind of 100%, you don't have all those sort of material facts. Do you have that option to say like, we can't pursue this?
Absolutely. And in fact, it's our ethical duty to do so. Right. I mean, you take a pledge, you know, absolutely. And I decline cases quite frequently, actually. You know, it is not that every case that comes to my desk, I move forward. You have to explain why you're declining. But every prosecutor, every attorney has an oath of duty to have candor with the court. Candor is honesty, right? And that definitely breaches your duty of candor if you're bringing something you don't think meets reasonable doubt. And so, you know, I've even gotten, I am lucky, I think, that I've never ended a case where I thought this person's not guilty, shouldn't be convicted, whatever it is. I've gone to trial on like very specific counts and decided to dismiss parts of the case before going to trial because I was like, don't know if my evidence stacks up to reasonable doubt. Continue with the case, but there may be, you know, say if there's money laundering, you know, 10 transactions, maybe one of the transactions, not totally clear if it was met the elements, say, of money laundering. And that is always an option. Even once you indict a case, you have the duty and the option to dismiss, to move to dismiss counts and to dismiss the case. If at any point the case develops as you're investigating, preparing for trial, and something comes up where you're like, you know what? I have doubts about this case. So that's a really good question. And it's an ever-changing thing. Cases are never finished investigating. You know, that's kind of the frustrating part of it. It's never finished, ever. You kind of just have to at some point be like, this is what we're moving forward with. So you get new information all the time and you evaluate it all the time.
Yeah. Counts get dismissed, you know.
It makes me wonder about like lawyers, you know, who have to like defend Scott Peterson and like, or I mean, God bless any case ever. And you're like sitting there watching Dateline or whatever it is, you know, I'm a Keith Morrison fan. So Dateline when he's on there is my go-to, but I just sometimes watch these dudes and I'm just like, how are you still 10 years later defending this dude or this woman? You know, when it's, so it just makes me so interested of, you know, do they honestly believe that or do they have to kind of die on that hill because, you know, they, you know, that's their career. That's their name. Whenever they, you know, defended this guy or woman 10 or however many years ago, and they still have to be, you know, it just, I'm like, surely that you don't believe, you know?
So there's something, you know, there's a couple of things to say about that. I think there are different personalities for what kind of law you practice. There's obviously litigation versus, you know, corporate law. So if you don't like the fight, you probably shouldn't be in litigation, but also those who want to be prosecutors versus defense attorneys. And here's the thing. We absolutely need people on both sides. Scott Peterson, I don't care what you think about him. He deserves counsel and he deserves someone. Now it is I think defense counsel oftentimes, especially when it comes to someone like Scott Peterson, who I think did it, there's still a way to present a defense that is an honest defense that doesn't, you don't make up evidence, you don't lie to the court. And oftentimes we have defense counsel who they're doing the best they can with what they've got and they know they're going to lose on it, but they don't lose their integrity and they, you know, continue to have candor with the court and I respect them. So, you know, our system only works when there's vigorous advocacy on both sides. But I hear you, there's probably a reason why we're prosecutors and not on the other side.
I think I would probably have to be on your end if I were to do it. Cause I mean, I would even think about what happens halfway through a trial, you know, and some of these trials are so long. And what if at some point, you know, you kind of change your mind about it and you're, you know, at that point, would you have to, like you were saying, sort of the oath you take, what at that point, do you think you would have to dismiss yourself or do you just continue kind of rolling with it? I mean, it's just such a, it's a can of worms, I realize.
So if you're a defense attorney, you gotta keep going, right? Like it actually doesn't matter what you think if you're a defense attorney. Your obligation is to provide the best defense to your client you can. And to hold the prosecutors to their obligation, right? Like prosecutors have an obligation to, if someone's going to be convicted and have part of their life taken away from them, we have to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt. And no matter how much of a slam dunk it is, you still have to do that in court. And the defense attorney, part of what they're doing is holding prosecutors to that obligation, and making sure they can do it. And they do have a continuing obligation to their client. I think it would be, I mean, I'm not a defense attorney. I assume this is part of their sort of ethical canon, but if you defended somebody and then they lost and then you went outside, yeah, that guy totally did it. I think that would be, that would not be something you should be doing.
I wouldn't think so either.
Based on with somebody, you're with them for life. You know what I mean? Right. Now, prosecutors, yeah. I mean, hopefully we'll never be in this situation. But if you actually, if somehow, I don't know exactly how this would happen, but if somehow you made it all the way to trial and halfway through trial, you were like, man, this guy's totally innocent.
I feel like it could happen or vice versa, you know.
It'd be pretty bad if it happened halfway through trial because you put on all your witnesses first. So you put all your witnesses on. You're like, man.
The prosecution or the defense puts on witnesses first.
Prosecution.
Okay.
Yeah, but because at the end of the prosecution case, the judge, if the prosecution case is terrible, at the end of their case, the judge can actually grant an acquittal right then. Defense doesn't have to do anything, doesn't go to a jury.
They could just literally be like, a witness is done. And they're, you know, whatever. The judge could literally be like, F this, like, we're done here.
At the conclusion, once the prosecution's put on all their evidence and says they've arrested, at that point, the prosecution must have put on enough evidence for a jury to find that person guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And if the judge, I mean, this is very rare, right? You know, this motion is made in every trial. We were talking about the Chauvin trial earlier. It was made in the Chauvin trial. It's made every time. Mm-hmm. A request for a judgment of acquittal. Very rarely happens, but it can happen. It can happen. So,
well, anybody jump on for sure. Last question.
We got an open spot, Mandy. You can stay as long as you want.
Okay. Well, I don't want to be like a, you know, I'm fangirling out a little bit. Like, if you are a defense attorney, would it ever happen? I cannot imagine it would, but what if, can it happen that your client could say, I killed so and so? I mean, does that happen? Can it happen? I'm thinking it doesn't.
Yeah.
And if it does, could that attorney, I'm assuming they would need to back off, but will it happen that they would not? That they would be like, okay, cool, but I still have a case that you didn't, so we're going to still roll with this.
So there are defenses, right? To killing someone, right? There's insanity. There are mitigating factors. There's self-defense. There's lots of things. And also, remember, just because you did something, unless you're gonna the person who did it wants to plead guilty, it's still the duty of the state or the government to put on the case. So just because I just show up and I'm like, I killed a guy, there actually still has to be a process, and that's just what our constitution affords. Now, if I were defense counsel and my person said, I did it, I killed him, and I look through all our available options in terms of a defense, and if there's really no defense, I would advise my client, you should probably take a plea deal. And that's what the attorney does. They have all the available information. And yeah, attorneys are told things like that all the time. And a good attorney will take that information and think, what is the best outcome for my client then? Because part of the reason you plea is you usually get acceptance of responsibility, which makes your guideline sentence, we talked about this in Chauvin, what guidelines are, your guidelines slightly lower than if you were to go to trial, right? And there can be, you can plead to something lesser. There's lots of things. And so the attorney just has to decide what is the best way to advise their client.
Right. Best course of action.
But if you're a defense attorney and your client comes in and says, I killed him and I kill him again.
Yes.
You're going to defend me and we're going to trial and we're going all the jury. The defense attorney's obligation is to provide the very best defense they can for that person. You know, your defense attorney is like your priest. You can tell your defense attorney anything you want. And as long as it's not like an ongoing crime, like hide the body for me, obviously you can't do that. But you can tell them anything about the crime. You can tell them exactly what happened. Now, what gets interesting if you do that, if you tell your, and then you say, and I want to testify, and I want to say I didn't do it. Well, then the defense attorney has a problem because he can't actually put you on the stand if you're going to lie. Right. But beyond that, he can still hold the prosecution to their burden. They still have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. He can question their witnesses. He can question any like shenanigans that go on, you know, is there like a discovery issue or a search warrant issue or anything like that? And that's what he has to do. So even if he knows that they did it and the client told him he did it, that actually doesn't matter at the end for the defense attorney.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, you, Mandy.
It was so nice to talk to y'all.
So nice.
Oh, good to talk to you too.
Love you guys. And congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, JC.
How you doing?
Good. Doing well. How are you? Welcome.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Just I got a question for you regarding the Maura Murray case.
Oh, shit.
I'm here for it.
So just wondering with the videos surveillance of the liquor store at this point, why wasn't it released? Is it a confidentiality thing? Is it possible suspects in the case could be in the video? Person of interest, say like the track coach, somebody like that?
You'd like to think that, right? Like you'd like to think there's some method behind their madness. The problem with that is I can't figure out why it took them so long to release the ATM footage. Right?
Exactly.
Like it took them, a decade to release ATM footage? That's and there's nothing in the ATM footage. There's no suspects. There's nothing sensitive, and yet they didn't release it.
Well, they didn't release the whole video either, right?
Right. They just released, it depends on who you ask about how the video was taken. Now, look, the fact that they released the ATM footage and not the liquor footage, maybe that supports an idea that they think there's something in there that they don't want to share. I think it's certainly the case that New Hampshire is still looking at this as an active criminal case and is still withholding information because of that. At least that's what they say.
Okay.
In responses to various requests for information. But as far as specific things they have or have not released, beyond speculation, it's hard to say.
So, I mean, that would make sense for the tandem driver theory if, you know, there was some surveillance video of the liquor store or, you know, and why is the New Hampshire state still ahead of the investigation when, you know, you brought up a good theory. I don't think it was you, but you brought up the theory where she hit Buddy with the car and took off and all that stuff. But nobody knows that she was actually, you know, the one driving that car. I mean, there is evidence, circumstantial, but, you know, why is it just in New Hampshire? How come Massachusetts didn't move in and work with them?
So I know that the UMass police did some work on UMass's campus. I think the reason, okay, so people ask us sometimes, why isn't the FBI more involved? Why isn't Massachusetts more involved?
Yeah.
I think the general consensus from law enforcement is that if a crime occurred, it occurred in New Hampshire. It occurred, you know, on the wild Ammonoosuc Road near the weathered barn. And so, and that it would be a New Hampshire crime. It would be a kidnapping. It would be a murder that would have happened there and would have stayed there. Now, there are definitely some theories that possibly something happened in UMass. Certainly, she crossed a border, right? I mean, she drove from UMass up to New Hampshire, or somebody did. But generally speaking, that is going to be the number one jurisdiction is going to be New Hampshire. And unless there's concrete evidence of a crime happening in another state, they're probably not going to give up that jurisdiction. They may ask for assistance from somebody like the FBI, but the FBI is never going to be the main investigative agency on that. Another thing people confuse, this happened very close to a national forest. National forest, because there are so many of them and they cover so much of the country. When national forests were created, the states were concerned about losing jurisdiction over those. So the national forests are actually under the jurisdiction of the state, not the Fed. So, you know, if she'd been killed in the national forest, it doesn't mean the FBI is involved. The FBI only is for national parks. Otherwise, the state has jurisdiction. So that is another reason. But, I mean, look, I think they've definitely used some of these cross-state resources. But my thing about this case, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and some people think this is wrong, and I understand there's a lot of drama in the case, and who knows what would happen if we did this, but it's been 17 years. There's no indication we're any closer than we used to be to figuring out what happened. I think releasing more information is what they should do. And that's just my opinion, and people can disagree with me.
I agree. I just got one last question.
Sure thing.
The missing hour, never been solidified about that missing hour. When Maggie did the show, she drove up and there was a missing hour of time. And I know they said she might have went to the DMV to fill out some paperwork, but has that ever been verified?
So it hasn't been verified. You know, one thing that's interesting and that I'm still interested in, and like I said, I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist. I'm still interested in the Londonderry ping. I'm still interested in knowing, was that anything, you know, her meeting somebody halfway could certainly account for that. I think most people account for it by she may have stopped to eat. She may have stopped to pick up accident forms. She probably stopped to get gas at the way station pretty close to where she wrecked her car. Maybe that makes up for that time. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Maura probably was driving faster than Maggie did. I think Maura likes to drive fast, as evidenced by her 100-mile-an-hour speeding ticket she got the summer before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely interesting, and it's definitely a good question, but it's just really hard to know.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you a lot, guys. I really enjoy your show, and keep doing your thing.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Have a great night. Hi.
Yeah, I'm still trying to join.
Hi. It is. My camera's wigging out, so I apologize. But I just wanted to jump on and say congratulations to both of you and how much I just really, really love the podcast. It's kept me company through a lot of time. And I have to tell you, I know you talk about it a lot, but song. I think it's fabulous. So it's a perfect fit for the show. But again, just awesome work. And thanks for.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Yeah, thank you, Jeanette. And I know at some point some advertiser is going to complain about our theme song, because if we had post-roll ads, nobody would listen to them because the theme song is so long. And I just don't care. That's the cost for having the 3-minute long theme song at the end. And so be it. I love that song. And I think did I send you the video of my daughter dancing to it yesterday, Alice?
I receive like weekly videos of your daughter dancing. Our kids love this song. And we have like little kids, and like in the car on the way to daycare, they'll be like, "We want to listen to this song." And then they'll hear my voice and they'll be like, "Mama, what are you doing in the radio?"
Yeah.
They love it. So sorry, the song stays for our kids.
Yeah. And you know, this seems like as good a time as any to announce this, but Alice, you know, has two kids, and I have a daughter, but we're adding a son to the family in July. So yay. Very exciting. So if in July we don't have some episodes, you'll know why. I was predisposed for a little while. But
maybe we'll take a summer break or something.
Yeah, we may have to take a summer break. So sorry about that, guys, but
yay,
well, Adrian, I'm looking forward to having a boy. I tell you what, like most, you know, sexist men, when my wife was pregnant the first time, I wanted a boy. And then I was like, oh, but a girl would be good. And then we had a girl, and man, she's awesome. So then I was like, I want another girl. And now I have a boy.
Boys are awesome. Yeah. Before I showed up for this Get Vocal, I was putting my 3-year-old to bed, and he quite literally slapped me in the eye, and I thought I was going to have a black eye for this. But, you know, just, hey, Tim and Lance, or Crawl Space, whoever's on that.
Yeah, Crawl Space. And then, my little girl, every time she sees Alice, like runs up to Alice and hugs her and kisses on her. So Alice gets the sweet little girl thing.
True.
No, somebody asked earlier what our least favorite episode is. That was like the hard question. I have an answer for that. I don't know if Alice has an answer for that, but I have an answer for my least favorite episode.
Which one is that?
It's Missy Beavers, because people are so mean to us about
it. Oh, well, I didn't hate the episode.
I didn't hate the episode either. Man.
So mean. People are so mean.
Yeah. The Missy Beavers people just hate us. They despise us with like a passion.
I don't know. I mean, you know, whatever. I feel like maybe everyone has a lot of emotions bottled in from this last year, and Missy Beavers is where it just like comes out. Oh, and that's where they like get the hate out, you know?
Mandy, they hate our position. They hate our opinion. They want it to be something.
They just hate everything about us. We can do no right.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, it was crazy.
It's okay.
No, Maura Murray people, we made tons of friends in the Maura Murray thing, and like everybody that seemed to like the Maura Murray thing, anything didn't agree with us, but Missy Beavers, whew. This day we get the most of our negative reviews are Missy Beavers people. It's crazy. I don't know what it is. So sometimes I'm like, we should do that case again. Maybe we got it wrong, but.
We did not. I think we did it right.
Look, we got two open
we
want to
see your pretty faces. There are so many of you here. We can't believe that you guys are all here right now. We have like 8 minutes left. I mean, it's like a soft cutoff. It's a soft cutoff. But if you guys want
to see the yogurt shop murders at some point, Adrian.
Totally, I know, guys. That's my fault. It's one of those cases that every time I start. Adrian, I know. I promised it like many vocals ago. I love if you can love a case, but it's just so haunting and it's so close to home and it's so sad that I get too depressed every time I do it.
Neither do I, Jim. It doesn't matter. You know, you can get on here, just cover up your camera. You don't have to appear on camera. Just talk to you.
You guys are all beautiful to us. We showed you our face. So we hadn't really shown our face before.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you can ask us personal questions. Like, I'm going to just start asking Brett personal questions. Brett, how do you read a book a day? Real question. You are the most prolific reader I've ever met in my life. How do you read so quickly?
Well, you know, I used to, I don't do this as much anymore, but I used to listen to a book on tape, like on tape. That shows you how old I am. I used to listen to like an Audible, read a book on Kindle and have a paper book. And so then I would just sort of like, I'd always be reading something somewhere. And that way you can like, you can really like plow through books if you do it that way. Because then basically any moment you're free, you have a book.
Angela, hello, Angela looks like she could use some pretty litter.
I know.
There you go.
I'm kidding.
I've got the three cats. I have four dogs. I have chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, guinea fowl.
Oh, I want all of those things. Awesome. That sounds awesome.
Where do you live, Angela? You must have like a farm or something.
I have 10 acres. I actually have three fainting goats too, named Biggie, Tupac. No, I lost Tupac. I'm sorry. I have Biggie, Dr. Dre, and Snoop Dogg are my fainting goats. So
now, was Biggie responsible for Tupac going?
No, he was not. Okay. So they were actually half brothers. So it was a very sad day when Tupac died. But I just wanted to say first, congratulations. I am actually a physician, and I have loved your podcast. I, like many others, got introduced whenever you did the Delphi case, because I was, you know, the girls were around the same age as my oldest daughter, so it really kind of struck home to me. And then I binge-watched everything. I have a decent commute, and so loved all of it. I do have to tell you, the Elisa Lam case, it made me laugh, because your pronouncement of quetiapine was...
Quetiapine? That's how you pronounce it? Quetiapine. That's easy.
We did not know. That's not even close.
The quidipenny, I loved it.
We'll cut that out now. Well, you should just leave all that stuff in.
We also had so many one-star reviews who were like, why are they pretending they can't pronounce things? And I was like, I really can't pronounce this.
But here's the thing. I'm a physician. I prescribe this stuff all the time, and half of it I can't pronounce either. So don't worry about it.
we're gonna respond to every review with what you just said.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
I mean, I'm like, where did you get this extra alphabet to put into this medication? I don't get it. So, I did have a question for you guys about cases. Did you ever look into maybe doing the Josh and Susan Powell case? That one, I don't know if you've ever heard of that one.
I don't know that one.
So it happened in Utah. It was she is missing. They're pretty sure that he did it. The whole family, Dave Crowley did podcast was about it. So I guess,
vaguely familiar with it then. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the interesting thing with that was there was, sorry, that's Whiskey, one of my four dogs.
great name. Man, I love the names of your animals. It's amazing.
He was a COVID puppy. His name is actually Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So
you have great names, by the way.
Thank you. But so I guess one of the big things about the case was they never took him to trial and never convicted him. So I guess my interest was, would you guys think that there was ever enough to prosecute this guy? You know, being prosecutors. So that was, you know, kind of my question. That's been one of my, along with the Delphi murders, the Susan Powell case has been one of my favorites.
Well, we'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
With, there is a Kristen Smart. So the case that's going on right now in California, they just arrested somebody. Yeah. They just arrested the person that everybody knows did it. And everybody's known did it for forever. And that case makes me sort of think about what you're saying, because that case makes me really nervous, because I wonder, do they actually have enough evidence, or are they finally like, if we're ever going to do this, we have to do it now.
Yeah.
And The problem is, you know, once you go through with it, once you arrest them, once you indict them, you better be able to prove the case, right?
Right.
Because yeah. you're never going to get another chance at it. And it's just, that's tough when you've got, yeah. when you know the guy did it. And there's the Austin Yogurt Shop murder somebody mentioned. You know, there, and then we talked about the Springfield 3. And in all those cases, there are people that people are pretty sure did it, right? But yeah. bringing the case, there's, you know, there have been rumors, probably stupid rumors, that in Delphi, the police are pretty sure who did it and just don't have enough to go. And I mean, that's a difficult place to be because you want to get there, but you know, when do you pull the trigger? And I don't know. I mean, that's a tough question.
Well, and then of course with the Susan Powell case, there was no body, so mm-hmm. that, you know, makes it difficult.
Which isn't
as
necessary.
Well.
There's no body in the Kristen Swan case yet either.
But it
nobody
just
no crime.
So right. I thought of that in my head, sang it in my head. But it was just so tragic because he ended up killing his children, you know. And so, you know, could that have been prevented? But you know, as always, hindsight's 20/20. Sometimes even 2015. But no. So that was my only thing. I just wanted to say hi, and like I said, I kind of wanted to defend you guys on pronouncing medications because they're rough. I'll tell you.
Well, we Thanks, really well, appreciate
you know what
it.
Now yeah. now you're on the hook because we don't know what we're talking about when it comes to medical things, so now we're yeah. gonna have to ask you.
We just need to get your phone number and we just call you.
No problem. I wanted to be a forensic pathologist when I was younger. I don't know why I did it, why I didn't do it. I do family medicine. I actually do primary care for veterans right now, so. And I've done kind of various things, drug and alcohol and psych and, you know, urgent care and all of that. But
because we need more doctors because we've got all the yeah. law knowledge. But there mm-hmm. are so many times where Alice and I are like, man, I wish I knew more about medicine. I feel like when we did the Elisa Lam case, right? Like I spent all this right. time reading medical journals about what drowning does to people. And I was like, man, I wish I just knew somebody who knew this. Like,
Yeah.
And this is kind of a shout out to everyone in this room, including you, Angela. I don't think you guys realize we really do talk to everyone who will talk to us about any expertise, and you all have expertise. Angela, you have an obvious expertise.
Yeah.
Whenever we research these cases, we really try to talk to as many people as possible. So if you have something to offer, send us an email. We would love to talk to you, have you on the podcast. Yeah. You know, this is a community effort.
No, and that's another thing I love about you guys. You're so kind of open to talking to everybody and responding, and that you do these. This is the first one I was able to jump on, and you know, this is really great that you're kind of so involved with your listeners. It's really great.
Well, you know, here's the ugly truth. Without you guys, we literally have nothing. I think our spouses would be like, please stop spending time on this.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Alice is my only friend I have. I don't know if you guys missed this, but now I can't even talk to Alice in person. It's weird. It's weird to talk to Alice in person. I'm so used to talking to her on the podcast. And so now when I see her, I'm like,
Brett's being weird. Brett's drank a little too much tonight. We're getting to that point.
Are you on your second bottle now, or is that still the first?
It's still my first. Still my okay. first. Despite Alice's slander, you know, there's a little ball of champagne.
Oh my goodness.
But yes, Angela, thank you so much and for that. And seriously, I mean what Alice said, if you hear us do an episode and you have expertise, absolutely give it to us because we are happy to share that.
Yeah.
Or and why. And this is Rayanne, you're right. This is a great community.
This is probably like the best community. I've seen some other true crime podcast communities, and I'm too scared to jump in because people are a little bit intense. But for those of you who have not seen the Facebook discussion group that we did not start, but it's called the Gallery for the Prosecutors.
Yes.
It's an amazing community. Yes. People are so civil. They are so thoughtful. I mean, the discussion around the Chauvin trial, I was a little bit nervous because obviously it is a heated topic, and it was one of the most civil and like thoughtful conversations I've seen anywhere. So if you guys haven't seen the Facebook group, go to it. It's awesome. We do not run it. They make fun of Brett a lot, so you should just go for that comedy. Wait, can we figure out who started the podcast memes? I am obsessed.
Yeah.
It's too funny. Someone
on Instagram?
Made a, something like that. Someone made memes of our show, and it is the funniest thing I've ever seen. So if you are in this chat room, thank you for spending your time on it. But that's what I mean about this community. You guys are thoughtful. You're smart. You are supportive of each other. And I just, you guys are just the best. Thank you.
You're awesome. Okay, so we're nearing the end, but like Al said, it's a soft thing. So bye, Angela. Thank you. So if anybody has any other questions they want to jump on real quick and ask, feel free to do so. No pressure.
I'm looking up the meme name. It's on Instagram.
Alice is looking up the meme name on Instagram.
Do you remember? Yes. I don't want to say prosecute. Oh, it's prosecutors pod memes. Let me write it down. Prosecutor pod memes. Go check them out. Oh, there's more that I hadn't seen before.
Well, there you go. See, it's a gift. The gift that keeps on giving.
It's the gift.
We're going to be JFK. I don't know. That's maybe one day. Maybe one day. The thing is, we have such a long list, you know, and it's become kind of, I feel pressure now every time we pick a topic. Like, we need to really pick a good one because we have so many.
Also, but, like, I can't believe you guys keep listening. So I'm like, surely people will get bored of what we have to say soon. And it might happen. Yeah. It might happen like tomorrow, so it's okay.
You know, the stories would be interesting just learning about the South African judicial system and how it works. Because that is a sort of interesting case. Because it's weird, because as I recall, you know, for those of you who don't remember Oscar Pistorius, who's a famous Paralympian, who I think was actually in the Olympics as well, Blade Runner, they used to call it. He killed his girlfriend. He claimed it was an accident. He was convicted of a lower crime, and then on appeal, he was convicted of a higher crime, which obviously you can't do that in our system. So it's a different thing that they do over there. It is interesting. People complain about our system all the time, and then you read about, like, Amanda Knox and the way it is in Italy, and I'm just like, wow. I'm just really glad it's not that way here. But, yes, Faith Hedgesmith is one we've thought about. It's definitely on our list. That's the problem. As Alicia says, there are so many good ones, and we're trying to get through them. But hey, I mean, now that people actually like us, we're going to keep doing this. So, as far as I'm concerned, we got a long time. We got a lot, like years and years to cover all these cases, right, Alice? Right.
First, we're going to get through your paternity leave of You're going to have a kid first, and then we'll get past that. You know, although we did start this podcast when I was on maternity leave, so.
That's true.
There is that. Look what good things come from maternity leave and paternity leave.
I'm always feeling good, Elizabeth. I'm always feeling good.
This is how Brett acts all the time. Okay, I think we're just rambling at this point. Are there any, like, hard-hitting, last-minute, personal, embarrassing questions? No? Going once? We're just going to watch Brett down all that.
Yeah. I'm almost done. All right, guys. Well, this has – all of a sudden, we're jumping on.
Waiting for everybody to go to bed. Sorry.
Yeah. There you go. I totally
love it, Jonna.
My lovely wife was entertaining the baby while I did this. Shannon, are you at home? Are you hiding in the back seat?
This is my dog.
Okay, awesome. Hello, dog. Shauna.
Gotcha. I do not have a deep personal question for you, but I do have a curiosity question. Have you met your goal for donations for Abby and Libby Park? If not, hey,
that is a great question.
Doing this, let's get the donated.
Let's
going.
Do it.
That is a great question. You're so awesome, Shannon. We pledged $500, up to $500 matching for the Abby and Libby Memorial Park that's being built in Delphi. And asked people to email us at prosecutorspod@gmail.com with their donations. Let me see if I can find that.
I'll pull up the link. I don't think we've met the match yet.
We have not met the match yet.
But a ton of you guys have already donated, which is amazing.
So if you haven't donated and you want to donate, forget us. And if you, if you don't want to send us your receipt because you're concerned about privacy or whatever, that's fine too. Just let us know how much you donated. And on May 1st, we're going to match that up to $500.
and donate. So Alice, it's, if you Google Abby and Libby Memorial Park, you'll see where the donations are. They're in the process of building that right now. I know it would mean a lot to the family. And is Alice, what are you showing there?
I'm sorry. If you can see it, abbyandlibbymemorialpark.org. I'll put it in the chat box.
There you go. Yeah. Put it in the chat box. Yeah. I mean, anything like $5 is cool. Whatever. Donate what you can. You know, if you can't donate, that's fine. Share with your friends, right? There's all sorts of ways to help support that kind of thing. So anyways, well, look, all of a sudden, Shauna and Jim Fadal with, yep. Is that a, like a wallaby?
Shauna, I love that you're hiding.
No, it's a koala bear.
It's a koala bear. That was close.
Oh, that's very cute. Well, Shauna, thanks for waiting for your family to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Shauna.
I have the dogs barking like everybody else. Hey, I just wanted to say congratulations. It's so fun to listen to a podcast with, you know, you guys are coming with really educated viewpoints, and just your prior history dealing with other cases just puts a whole new spin on everything that you've heard from everybody else. So just so impressed. I was one of those that did the deep dive with you guys and Maggie and the captain. That was so much fun on the 4.5 hour marathon or whatever it was.
I can't believe you stayed. Wow.
Everybody was in bed, so.
You probably remember it better than I do, Shauna, I gotta say.
Well, hey, so rapid fire.
Okay.
Maura Murray, what's the probability that it was suicide, not foul play?
I don't think it was suicide, based on what was left.
I just think she was living so recklessly, and that was.
Well, that's true.
Weird.
No, I think she made a lot of bad decisions that could have led to whatever happened next. Because I think maybe it wasn't foul play. Maybe she wandered off. But It is no question that the days leading up to her disappearance were just a lot of bad decisions. But I don't think her bad decisions were meant to end her life.
Yeah.
But they may have led to the end of her life.
I will say this, Shauna. I would like to have sort of a deep dive look at the days up to her life. I feel like so much of what we think we know is influenced by people that maybe weren't shooting us straight, and we know that now.
Yeah, there was a lot of fill in the blanks going on in the early days, and now we just take that as canon. And
right,
it'd be so great to release information that. It drives me nuts that some jurisdictions can, you know, hand over their whole case files and we're still waiting after so long for her.
But. No, I still think it's possible she walked off into the woods. I know people don't like that because they say there were intense searches and they didn't see any footprints. And I totally get that. But if she walked a mile down the road, or if she cut off down a side road, of which there were many, and then entered the woods at that point, you might not have seen those footprints. So I'm still think it's possible she's just out there. Alice thinks she was picked up. I think that is a very likely scenario, because if she was murdered, it was almost certainly by a stranger, and those are the hardest murders to solve.
Yeah.
And she wasn't anywhere where she was supposed to be, which makes it even more difficult. You know, I always think about the Ted Bundy murders. I always think about all those girls on the West Coast who were hitchhiking or whatever, and we only know what happened to them because it was Ted Bundy, and Ted Bundy was eventually discovered. You know, there was one girl who was hitchhiking from college. We only know because it was Ted Bundy. Otherwise, she would just be somebody who disappeared on the road. Nobody would know, right?
Yeah.
And it totally could be something like that. So don't know what happened, but I still hold out hope that one day we will.
Okay. Delphi, crime of opportunity, or did he know them?
Crime of opportunity.
Yeah. I think he was a hunter and they fit the profile and they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They may have been chatting with some people. It's possible, but I don't think the very short timeline of the crime and of them not really planning that day. You know, remember they asked Kelsey to drop him off and she said no. It was kind of last minute. She felt bad and said, fine, I'll drop you off. I don't think that they were planning to meet anyone there. I think they were just he knew what that bridge was, and he knew what happened at the end of that bridge, and he was waiting for the right victims.
Yeah. Did Brian Schaefer ever make it out of the bar?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
No way. The captain very much disagrees with me on that one, but
so the captain disagrees with us on that one.
Yeah,
the captain has really interesting views on Brian Schaefer. And look, I mean, and I'll say this: the captain has more connections in that case than certainly we do. So I was very intrigued by what he had to say in that Maggie Get Vocal, which all of you can watch if you join Maggie's Patreon.
Maggie's
well, congratulations,
great. We love her.
Guys. It's been an awesome 1 year.
Thank you, Shauna.
I have to say the other thing was Dyatlov Pass was like my, my favorite mystery or whatever. And I thought I'd read everything that there was to know. And I got so much information from you. So awesome. It was awesome.
Thank you. Right. Thank you, Shauna. We really appreciate it. See you at the next 5 hour Get Vocal.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you for coming on.
So what thank time you. Is it where you are?
It is 3:15 a.m.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That's early.
Thank you.
I wanted to catch the last one, but I couldn't stay awake for it. And I wasn't sure if I'd be able to stay awake tonight, but I made sure that I have.
Yeah, here you are.
Jeff, thank you.
Yeah. I wish I had a better question. And I'm a little bit behind. I'm a little bit behind, but I'm catching up. I'm on an epic binge. I've just listened to the Lois Reese one, and I was wondering if Alice has found out how to breed worms yet, apart from cutting them in half.
So we learned a lot about worm farming after that. It turns out that the reason you raise worms, apparently, it's not just for people to go fishing with, which is kind of what we thought, right? Worm poop is apparently the caviar of fertilizer. It's like the best fertilizer you can make. So you raise the worms and they poop. And I think you raise them in these like boxes and they're like living in the top and they poop and the poop like falls down. And then you harvest the fertilizer and you sell the fertilizer. So that is how worm farming works.
That was fascinating to me. So it's actually farming of the worm poop. It's even better than I thought it could be.
It's even better than we thought it could be. They're just you're raising worms. No, you're actually raising worm poop. So amazing. Amazing stuff. Yeah.
And I even said there's a better word for it than worm poop. It's worm castings.
That is what they call it. Yeah. And we got all these emails from worm farmers. It was amazing. Like all these people were like, yeah, you know, I know this is going to sound strange, but I grew up on a worm farm. And they would explain this to us. So.
Until I heard that episode, I'd never ever thought about even people would breed worms.
We hadn't either.
I don't know where I thought they come from, but.
And you know, we did that episode, and I was like, "I'm not googling this. You know, we're not going to learn anything. We're just going to throw it out there. We have no idea what this is, and we want people to tell us about it."
It was for the better, Brett. I thought it was for the better because that discussion was so ignorant and hilarious.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And we got so many awesome responses from people who knew exactly what it was. So it was great. It was great.
Maybe we should not research any of our episodes.
I know. There you go. We'll just like, just go in. Yeah. It'd be funny.
And the best part of that episode was when you called Alice Stupendous. And she said, oh, you can't spell stupendous without stupid. And I found that so funny.
You're great.
Because I sat here and thought about it, and I was like, you can't? And I was like, of course you can't.
There you go. That's the joke.
I cannot believe you stayed up to get on this Get Vocal. Next time, we'll stay up for you so at a normal time for you.
Exactly. That's international Get Vocal, like 3 o'clock in the morning, our time. Or
what time is it where you are? Because you might be behind, I think.
Yeah, here it's only 9 o'clock. Behind. So I guess we'd have to do it earlier. We do a lunchtime Get Vocal for all the folks on that side of the world.
That's right. That's
maybe
right.
One day we can come and visit Australia. If we ever get to Australia? Like a million downloads an episode. Where are you?
England. UK.
Oh, you're in England.
Yeah.
Oh, I just assumed because of the koala bear that you were.
You know what they say about assuming, Brett.
Yeah.
Well,
an ass out of you and me.
England would be much easier to get to than Australia. So we should definitely do that.
But maybe what, like not said, at the moment, though.
Well, that's true. We're both vaccinated, though. Does that mean we can go if we've got our vaccinations?
That's what I'm hoping.
Maybe, maybe not. Yeah.
My last question is, what are your opinions on the West Memphis 3? Are they?
Wow. Well, that's going to be like a 6-episode thing when we do it.
It really is.
Are you doing it?
You know, the captain promised us that we would do one together, so.
That's true. He did. West Memphis 3. So, I think it is most likely that they are innocent. I think it is possible that some of them might be guilty. I'll put it that way. Like, it's such a weird case. It was screwed up from the beginning. So when people look at it, they look at it through the lens of the way the prosecution presented it, which is this crazy, like, satanic panic thing, right? That's obviously not what happened. This was not a satanic sacrifice. Might it have been some teenagers in the woods getting drunk who decided to bully some kids and things went too far and they killed them? Yeah, it might have been that. I don't think that it is likely in the end that the people who were convicted were actually guilty. There are so many problems with that, and there's just not a lot of evidence. There's not a lot of actual evidence against them. But it's an interesting case, and I think it's one that's worth looking into. What I would like to do for that, I would like to look at their actual trials, because most of what people think about that case is really informed by the documentaries. The documentaries were obviously very pro West Memphis 3, the kids who were convicted. Yeah. I think it'd be interesting to look at it and see if there was more evidence that people don't know about.
There's a site called Callahan site that's got all the trial transcripts.
Yeah, and I've spent some time on there, you know, reading transcripts of the various confessions that were made in that case, and it is the problem with it. It is such a massive case. It is so voluminous that it will. When we decide to do it, we're going to just have to figure out how to do it in a way that's manageable. Because I think they're really good podcasts. Truth and Justice. Yeah, Truth and Justice with Bob Ruff. He did a very extensive investigation on it, and it just goes to show you how long it takes, because he spent a lot of time on it and still didn't get to the bottom of it.
And he made a documentary of it as well. That was really interesting.
Yeah.
And congratulations on the download.
Thank you so much.
I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, Alice, I don't know what it is, but when we get to like this point, you're like, your microphone gets all weird and like mechanic.
Oh, she's gone.
I think she needs to like restart maybe, see if it worked. Well, look, thank you so much for staying up and talking to us. Yeah. You are awesome. And, you know, shoot us an email. Let us know what kind of cases you want us to cover. Obviously, you want us to cover West Memphis 3. But if there's anything else. And hey, if there's anything cool from your neck of the woods, we want to do more international stories. So, where exactly do you live in England?
In Cambridgeshire, in the East Anglia region.
Okay, what's your most famous case from that area? And if you have a peaceful area that just doesn't have crime, that's fine too.
No, I'd probably say the Sarum murders, which is kind of similar to the Delphi murders in that it was two young girls. But that case got solved. It turned out to be the caretaker of the school.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was really weird because him who killed them, he went on the news and was saying how bad. And that's how they found out that it was him, because he was just trying to get all the attention for himself.
Which is pretty common.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually pretty common for people, murderers, to want to insert themselves in the investigation and get attention. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. I mean, look, we'll cover soft cases too. We covered the Lois Race case. That case is soft. If they're interesting, we're happy to cover
them. I'm trying to think what other cases around here. I can only think of like Jack the Ripper. but that's not near where I am.
You know, the weird thing about Jack the Ripper is no podcasts do it. We thought about doing it, we're just because podcasts don't do it. I don't know if it's just because everybody knows it or what, but yeah. And Adrian Scott Peterson solved, and we spent 6 episodes on that. So there you go. Well, look, you stayed up late, so if there's a case you want us to do, you should send it to us, and we'll put it at the top of the queue.
Okay. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Okay. I'll joke.
All right. Oh, you can just hang out. You don't have to go anywhere. Okay. All right. Is there anybody else who wants to jump on before we say good night? I lost my co-host, so it's just me. I don't know if she's coming back or not. Alice, I'm here without a face. Well, on behalf of Alice, I want to thank you guys, not only for coming tonight, but for supporting us. I mean, you guys are our biggest supporters. You know, you guys have stuck with us throughout this whole crazy experience that we've had. And we wouldn't be here without you. We would never have gotten to a million without you. You guys have told your friends. You guys have left reviews. You know, you guys are awesome. So just want to say thank you to all of you. That's why we did this. And we do this about monthly with our Patreon folks. So, you know, if you join Patreon, we do this about monthly. But we're going to try and do more of these just for everybody because we love talking to you guys and hearing what you think. If you have thoughts, shoot us an email, Prosecutor's Pod. You know how to get in touch with us. Send us these cases you want us to do. If we screw something up, let us know that we want to hear from you and we want you to be a part of this. So thank you so much. And I would say I'm Brett and Alice would say she's Alice, but she's disappeared. So I'll just say until next time, we are the Prosecutor. Thank you guys. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Love you.